Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. My name is Matthew Kidman, and the reporting season is done. There's winners, there's losers. We own a bit of both of them. And to talk about how it all went and a few stocks, we've got Simon Shields from Monash and Michelle Lopez from Aberdeen Standard. Michelle, we'll start with you. Pinnacle, it's a new Magellan. You can't do anything wrong. Buy, hold, or sell.
Oh, it's a buy. It's a buy. They're about to enter a purple patch of fund performance, fund momentum and operating leverage. And I think the market is starting to wake up to the quality of the affiliates that they own equity stakes in. And with that comes a great conviction to apply an earnings multiple to a portion of the performance fees, the outperformance fees that they earn, which should lead to further upgrades. So it's a buy.
Simon, we all know funds management's a fickle business. We're in it.
Yes,
pinnacle,
indeed.
Is it at the pinnacle? Buy, hold, or sell?
Okay, it's a definite hold for me. Look, it's a great business, and Ian McCown, who's the CEO, has done a fantastic job. Funds management's all about funds under management and performance, and it's got great flow and it's got great performance at the moment. As Michelle said, it's going to get a performance fee as well. But, you know, in the good times when you're pricing these fund managers, you've got to be careful. It's not always good times, and it's not just the markets falling away. It can be performance too.
Let's get to the sexy end of the market, software. Ships, transport, kept going through COVID. WiseTech, buy, hold, or sell?
That's definitely a buy for me. You know, the goods and logistics surprise that we saw out of WiseTech in the last result was just absolutely terrific. It's got itself positioned with the platform for the digitisation of the whole logistics chain. Yes, it's on a high multiple, but it's pulled back and a little bit. It's a great opportunity to buy at this price.
It's Wise Technology. Is it wise to buy, hold, or sell it at the moment?
We're holders of Wise Tech, and I agree it's got a world-leading product in CargoWise, which will play into the structural theme of digitalisation of the industry. And interesting, the strategy has pivoted somewhat in the last 6 months to kind of refocus on the core and integration and high-value customers, but it's in the price for us, and that it's back up to where kind of pre-COVID it was trading at, so it's fully reflective of that. So it's a hold.
Okay, let's get to education. All the students have been locked in their rooms, haven't been allowed to go to uni, but somehow IDP knocked out a great result. Buy, hold, or sell?
Oh, it's a buy for us still, and there's two parts to this business. You've got your English learning testing business, which has shown a huge recovery post-COVID. It's literally snapped right back. But then you've got your student placement, which is still struggling and it's still soft. When you think about the value change and at chain and what IDP is providing to the universities, it's in fact strategically more important today than when it was pre-COVID. So when those students come back in and our borders open up, I don't think that's yet reflected in the share price. So it's a buy.
Did very well, Simon. And it could be a reopening stock. Buy, hold, or sell?
It is to some extent a reopening stock. Hold though, because the share price has just driven up so high that we think there's too much in the price now. Certainly going to be continuing to grow its testing. And, you know, as Michelle said, in the right place at the right time for the universities, but everything has a price. That's a hold for me.
Right. COVID, everything's data storage. It was already in train. Now you've got to store all those servers out in a remote block somewhere. NEXTDC, though, it's somehow disappointed everyone, down about 15%. Buy, hold or sell?
Buy. I think it's a great buying opportunity on the pullback. I mean, the underlying thematics have not changed. It's, you know, the need for data, it's being generated all the time. It's got to be stored somewhere. And this stock is actually a very solid business, asset heavy. It's not going to give us too many surprises.
15% is a bit of a surprise.
But, you know, that's the pullback. Get in.
On the buy. Okay. Data storage, it's got to be a growth industry.
Oh, it is. I'm with Simon on this one. It's a buy. I think the pullback that we've seen was not reflective of the result. I think it's reflective of broader macro factors like the bond yield that we've seen play out. And when you think about the big mega trends of data and what that means for DCs, these guys are dominant positions in Australia. They've got a very solid pipeline of developments coming on as well to be able to meet that demand. And the returns, once they get utilisation in the DCs up, are mid-teens. So for a return on invested capital of mid-teens, I think is quite a decent return. And it's trading well below our DCF range of what it's worth, so it's a buy.
Okay, circuit boards. Altium short-circuited. It was terrible. Had a series of downgrades. Buy, hold or sell?
It's, you know, I'm going to put this one on a buy again, but this is a three-year view. They are coming off a number of downgrades, so hopefully we're closer to the bottom. But you need to step back and realise with Altium, they are world leaders. They've got this product that enables the design of printed circuit boards, which basically goes into every industry. And what they've been able to do and what they're on the pathway to do is really open up their addressable market and ensure that their software is embedded even more than it already is. So we are taking a three-year view with this. And, you know, it's interesting. This is a company that's given targets to FY25. Mm. I do not know another management team that have done that.
How do they get
either
away with
foolish
it?
Or incredibly impressive if they're able to deliver. Time will tell, but it's a buy.
Three-year view, Simon. Gosh, we could be doing anything in 3 years. Altium, buy, hold or sell?
Sell for me. Okay, so this is a stock we used to own and we sold out of in October last year. And we sold out because it looked like it was struggling to meet its targets. And it certainly continued to struggle to meet its targets. We're going to need to see a bit of better execution because, you know, there's high expectations still, as Michelle's saying, you know, for what it can potentially do down the track. And it should be able to do it, but they're struggling to do it. And for us, you know, that's a red flag. So it's a sell.
Whether the company's beat, whether they missed, or bond yields are rising, the two people in the room are very, very bullish about the future. Here we go with our new segment, and this is where you earn your money, guys. Questions without notice. Michelle, you're going to go first. You got something for Simon, so it knocks him off his feet. Doesn't know what to say.
Well, I'm going to carry on with the whole tech and growth thematic that we've just been talking about. And I know, Simon, you're quite a bull, I guess, on Afterpay. And just wanting to ask you one question.
Yes.
What is it, what's the one insight that the bears are missing on Afterpay? And where do you see value in Afterpay?
Okay, the big insight that the bears are missing on Afterpay when they do their forecasts is around the frequency of use by customers the longer the customer has been a customer. So in the first year, the customer will use it 4 or 5 times. And that grows to 12 times in the third year. And now when you go four plus years out, and of course that's lengthening as well, you're up to 29 times. Now that sounds like a lot, but when you bring that back to how many times a month that is, that's less than 3 times a month. And we're not talking about big amounts of money for each transaction. So that's what they missed. Now, I have been a big bull on Afterpay. I think, you know, the business is a magnificent business. But in fact, we sold out completely of our Afterpay at $150. A share, right? And that's because we've got a view about what Afterpay is going to do over the next 5, 7, 8 years. And because of that frequency of use insight, it's actually easier to forecast the forward revenues on Afterpay than what it is for a normal company that's having to go out every year and re-establish new customers and so forth. So essentially at $150, we felt that we were getting paid for the next 7 or 8 years of execution by Afterpay. So why wait around and see if they do a good job doing it? We took our money and we left. And so, you know, if it comes back enough, then its upside might meet our hurdles again and we may go back in.
That was pretty kind for you, Simon. I hope you return serve. What's your question without notice?
Okay, well, I'm not giving you a stock-specific question, Michelle. It's more about the rising bond yields and whether or not you're concerned about those for the market.
It is a factor that we need to consider, but it's a factor. And I think what it has done is really focused us on a couple of things. So firstly, can it continue and for how long? Are we likely to see another big step up like we saw last week? And the answer to the latter part is no, we don't expect another big massive spike up. However, we do expect it to sort of maintain this trajectory. What does that mean for equity markets? We are not fearing the worst. I think before anything really tragic happens to equity markets, you will likely see central banks step back in and you know, do more QE as we've seen them do, and very swiftly coordinated it last year as well. So I'm not too worried at this point in time, given where we are in the recovery cycle.
If you enjoyed that episode, please subscribe to the Livewire YouTube channel.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.